That's all right. We're going to read some verses in Acts chapter 7, if you'll look there with me, the book of Acts chapter 7. And as I was reading through some of these verses and I'm remembering all the things that the early church went through, I realized that God uses adversity, trouble, dark circumstances in our life, and He can do some amazing things and give us opportunities when it seems like it's a closed door. It seems like an impossible situation. You'll notice this here in this text. Actually, Acts chapter 7 is the sermon by Deacon Stephen. And I'm telling you, he really gives it to them. It was a strong message. It was so strong. Acts 7 and verse 54. Acts 7 and verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Now, we've heard that same terminology in the book of Acts. When you back up to Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, those hearers of his sermon were also cut to the heart, cut in the heart. They were really pierced through with conviction. And their hearts were really pierced by what they heard. And now it says that after Stephen concluded his sermon that day, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Now, I've had a few negative reactions, I guess, over the years. It's usually just maybe like an eye roll or something like that. I've never had anything like people coming and biting me. That's literally what is happening here, that they gnashed on him with their teeth. Now, these are some tough times for people. And you can see as the remainder of chapter 7 that Stephen, this is the account of his martyrdom and how that they drug him outside of the city gates and they stoned him to death. And they threw their coats and their cloaks at the feet of a young man by the name of Saul. And later on, when Saul, who becomes Paul, is giving his report before the governor, Felix, that he says, I was consenting unto his death. I was there, and they threw their coats at my feet, and I was consenting. I was behind what they were doing. I was for it. I was cheering them on in their stoning of Stephen. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God. Stephen is dying, and he's calling upon the Lord, and he prays, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had thus said this, he fell asleep. Now, that chapter 7 is the account of Stephen's martyrdom, his sermon, and the reaction of the people. Now, when you move to chapter 8, then you see that things are heating up even more. They're not getting better. They're getting worse. It says that Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which it was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad. So there's Stephen, one of their leaders, is martyred. And then the persecution even heats up even more. And Paul is going from house to house and arresting people. He is so out of control in his hate toward the church. And persecution is heating up so much that it says they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria. Now, that's an important little phrase there. that phrase that says that they were scattered abroad. They were scattered abroad. Persecutions always had that kind of effect upon the church, that it didn't stifle or kill the message of the gospel, but instead it spread it. That's literally what the word there means in that text in the Greek. It literally means that it was being spread. It was being broadcast, and they were going to areas that they would never have gone before, and the gospel was being heard in places that if it had not been for Stephen's death, if it had not been for Saul's persecution of the church and all of this pressure that the church was under, that it didn't stop the gospel, but instead it spread the gospel. So whenever things are a little difficult, and Christians and churches, I was talking with a pastor in Indiana today who was just telling me about all the things their church has gone through in the last year or so, and I said, yeah, I know, amen. We all have dealt with some of the same things. But pressure, we're not necessarily under persecution, but when we're under pressure and we're facing difficult and dark times, God can work in the middle of all of that. And he can even do things during that time, those times when we're under pressure, that maybe it wouldn't have ever happened that way if it hadn't been for those adverse circumstances. Amen. So we really need to lean heavily upon the voice of the Lord and be prompted by the Spirit of God, because God can use troubling and difficult times in your life to further his cause. He can do that. Amen. I've mentioned this before over the years, but the word opportunity comes from two Latin words that mean at the port. At the port. At the port is when the ship is getting ready to launch out. It's getting ready to move forward. It comes and goes at the port. Opportunity is a port. It's an opportunity. It's the picture of the opening up of new ways and new opportunities that God may want to work in your life. It happened in the early church. I believe it can happen today. And that's why that it's important for us as the people of God. It's really important for us to be listening to the voice of the Lord and obeying the voice of the Lord. It's because sometimes the worst thing that's happening can set off a chain reaction in the spirit. And that's what happens here. Because first of all, the gospel is being spread to areas it never would have been before. Philip goes to Samaria, again, an area where they would probably not naturally want to move into. They had a lot of prejudice, racial prejudice, against the Samaritans. They wouldn't have normally gone in that direction, but because of the pressure, the persecution, and because they were scattered, he finds himself in Samaria. One of the greatest revivals recorded in the New Testament is recorded right here in this chapter that happened after the persecution, after the tough time, after the martyrdom of Stephen, after the pressures put on the church by Saul, and all of this negativity, all of this hardship, God used it to spread the gospel in ways that wouldn't have been spread before. Verse 4, it says, therefore they were scattered abroad, there's the same phrase again, and went everywhere preaching the word. It didn't stop them, it didn't silence them, it just gave them a new opportunity. It gave them a new open door. And that's the way they viewed it. And we should view our trials, our problems, our difficulties, setbacks, and maybe things that you are experiencing, even collectively as the body of Christ, as the church, we should view these times that we are in right now as a new opportunity. Something new that God is wanting to do. Some open doors, a new port, a new launch of something that he is wanting to do. It says that Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord, that phrase there means it was unanimous. Now you don't hear about revivals where an entire nation unanimously received the gospel. It was perfect timing. God had set this up. He had aligned the pressure and the martyrdom of Stephen and all of these circumstances. He'd worked it in perfect timing because the Samaritans were ready. They were ready to hear the truth, to hear the gospel. And they all with one accord, unanimously gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Praise God. Amen. So a city that is under the cloud of their history and their past and even hated by all the nations around them, all the Jews that were around them hated them because of their mixed marriages and they were just a despised people. But now the whole city is filled with joy. Only God could align that up perfectly so that the gospel could be heard in an unlikely place and a new opportunity was given to them. Sometimes the worst thing that could happen to you might be an opportunity for the best things to happen. Amen. The worst things may be God opening up a door so that some of the best things can happen. Because we are the children of God. We believe God's word, and we believe that God is working in our life, and he's working by his Spirit, directing our steps. And so even when we're under pressure, when we're going through hardship, when we're feeling all these negative circumstances that are overwhelming to us, could it be that God is arranging it and setting things up so that the gospel can be spread? We have to trust God. Philip trusted God. He completely trusted God because when you read on down in this same chapter, the Bible says that God told him, spoke to him and said, leave here and go to a place that's a desert place. What? Leave the revival and go to a desert? That's what he told him to do. But he trusted what God was doing in his life and through his life. Amen. And so he told him, the Lord spoke to him and said, go to the south, verse 26, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. So leave Samaria, leave the revival, leave the rejoicing, the city that's filled with joy, and a revival that has affected the entire city. Who wants to leave that place? Not me. That's a good place to be. But the Lord said, I want you to go south to a place called Gaza. It's a desert. But I've called you to the desert this time. God uses all kinds of circumstances to spread his gospel. And there was going to be a man. He told him, there's going to be a man there. He arose and went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Here is a man who had a lot of power and authority, and he goes and he travels all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. Look on the map. That's a long distance. That is a long, long distance that he has traveled. Why did he go there? He went there to worship. He went to Jerusalem to worship the true and the living God. But he needed someone to help him, someone to explain Isaiah 53 to him. He didn't fully comprehend it. So God led Philip from a revival to a desert because he was going to have an encounter with this man who was hungry for the truth. So important for us to be listening to the voice of the Spirit, listening to the promptings of the Spirit of God. Let God guide you. Let God direct you. And if he speaks to you to do something, to minister to someone, to give to someone, to share the gospel with someone, let the Lord use you. Amen. Praise the Lord. God uses all kinds of circumstances, and we need to be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of God. Amen. So he goes to the desert, and there, and I skipped over part of the part there where this man by the name of Simon comes, and he was a sorcerer. He was lifted up in himself. He thought he was God. But he also heard the gospel and was also baptized. And the Lord did a mighty work even in him. God can work in amazing ways if we will look for the opportunities in the trial, in the trouble, in the rough times that you may be in. Amen. We need to rely on the voice of the Lord directing us and leading us, because he will open doors. He will give to us new opportunities if we'll pay attention to the voice of the Lord. Amen. A couple more verses in the New Testament. This one I mentioned on Sunday night, Colossians 4 and 6. Let your speech be always with grace. Let it always be a gift. Let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Amen. People are really in need, and they need a word from you that is a gift to you, to them, because you've spoken to them a word of hope, a word of truth, a word of encouragement. And I challenge you to be that person used of the Lord, relying on the leading and the direction of the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5 and 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Evil days, dark times. What is he saying? Buy up the opportunities, redeem the time. And buy up opportunities, even though the days are evil. Amen. And dark. One more, Colossians 6 and 10. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Amen. Praise the Lord. People need a good word of encouragement. They really do. And the Lord can use you as a witness, as a voice for the Lord, even in the middle of these dark times. So I've kind of laid out for you here in chapter 7 and chapter 8 of the book of Acts, how that God worked even though things were really hard. Things were really sad. And there was all of this persecution and all of this that was going on. God used it all to spread the gospel. Amen. No one doubts or no one denies that we are in some tough, difficult times right now. And we have been for a while, for a couple of years, challenging in a lot of ways. But instead, if somehow we could look at all that's happening and ask the Lord, Lord, what opportunities are you giving to us during all this? What open doors are you providing for us through all of these difficult times? Amen. Praise God. So an opportunity is ours. Let's believe the Lord. We're moving toward some revival services at the end of the month. Let's call upon the Lord. Let's take advantage of this opportunity to be used of the Lord to minister to as many as we can. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we have this example in your word, and you can speak to us, Lord, even in troubling and difficult times. Lord, you can spread your gospel. You can spread it in ways and give us opportunities that we would have never, ever have imagined. But Lord, you can open doors for us, even in times such as we're living in right now. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit, Lord, that can speak to us and can direct us in such a time as this. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Bless the church. Bless your people, Lord. Stir our hearts, Lord, to the possibilities of what you want to do through our lives. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand together.